How to catch every word of the world's most famous podcast. Have you ever listened to Serial? If not, where have you been? It's the podcast sensation of the last couple of years with over 80 million downloads. That's why Anne-Marie recommended it in her list of must-listen podcasts. Serial Season 1 is all about the murder of high school student Haemin Lee back in 1999. It broke records and got people hooked on Serial. Her ex-boyfriend, Adnan Syed, was convicted of her murder at the time. But, as the Serial podcast reveals, he may be innocent. Don't expect any definitive answers, but rather plenty of twists and turns as journalist Sarah Koenig re-examines the case. What I love about this podcast, apart from the ambitious task Sarah takes on, is the way she delivers it. She's talking like a normal person, not like a radio presenter or journalist. This makes Serial a great way to improve your conversational listening skills. For me, that's the key to ending most of your listening frustrations. Many learners think they need to listen to formal academic monologues like TED Talks. In fact, what you need is to listen to real, natural, spontaneous speech. That's what will help you understand natives when they talk to you, and help you catch the dialogue in your favourite TV series or films. We're going to work on 8 clips of Episode 1, Season 1. I don't want to spoil the podcast by revealing what happens in the next episodes. Because I don't want you to give up after the first 5 minutes, I'm going to take you through and explain some tricky sections. There's so much to say about almost every single word, but I've selected some sections with typical listening difficulties for English learners. I suggest that you download the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It'll be easier for you to follow along and move back and forth in the episode. You can also listen on the Serial website, but it's a bit harder to rewind or fast forward. You'll want to listen back to sections to make sure you've caught everything. Here are the sections we're going to work on. If you want, you can listen to the first 5 minutes of the podcast, then go back through these clips to write out what you hear. After, you can compare what you heard with the transcription. And I'll explain why these sections are hard to catch. Clip 1, 1 minute 10 to 1 minute 17. In this extract, we can hear a typical squashed expression. That's the name I give to frequent expressions that sound very different in fast spoken English. Our squashed expression here is want to, which sounds like wanna. We lose the to sound from want and to, then one joins to the vowel that's left to make wanna. Another feature that I hear a lot in US accents is the loss of t sounds. T and d sounds disappear all the time in spoken English in the middle of words. In this example, the t disappears from apparently and 21 sounds like 21. I've made a list of some frequent words this happens to. Internet sounds like internet. Romantic sounds like romantic, gentleman sounds like gentleman, interview sounds like interview, interaction sounds like interaction, wanted sounds like wanted. Clip 2, 1 minute 32 to 1 minute 34. This section sounds like, I'm not even a crime reporter. When you say I'm carefully, there are 2 sounds. It's a diphthong. In fast speech, the second sound disappears and it sounds like am. 3 words join together, not even a. In English, consonants and vowels join together. This makes words easier to say. Try it yourself. Another difficulty here is the relaxed sound that occurs in a and in the second syllable of even. We change the vowel to a relaxed sound called schwa, which sounds a bit like ugh, the sound you might make if someone punched you in the stomach, for instance. All the vowels in grammatical words, pronouns, prepositions, articles, conjunctions, etc., often become relaxed sounds, either a schwa, or the short I sound, like in fish. Finally, a feature of American English, not my accent, I'm British, means the t in not sounds more like a d sound. This is because American speakers use a sound called a tap or flap here instead of a t sound. As a British English speaker, I probably make the sound disappear by using a glottal stop instead of the usual t. Clip 3, 142 to 146. This section sounds like a big, huge, squashed mess. So what's going on? I just want to point out something I'd never really thought about before I started working on this story. Remember I told you that t and d sounds have a habit of disappearing in English? Well, here, just, want, t, point, and out all lose these sounds. Another sound disappears from really, so it sounds like really. Again, there's a diphthong that gets reduced to just one sound. This is how you'll hear really most of the time in spoken English. A similar phenomenon happens to the first I, which sounds more like ah. Working also loses a sound and becomes working. Again, most of the time these ing endings will sound like in because it's quicker and easier to pronounce them that way. Joining happens between thought and about, and before and I. The famous tap or flap sound makes thought sound more like thought. Working and on also join together. What will probably shock you in this clip is the way Sarah pronounces started because it sounds like start. Yes, in very fast informal English, past tenses can sound like present tenses. Clip 4, 151 to 153. In fast spoken English, when we have a d and y next to each other, they transform into a new sound, j. Something similar happens with t and y sounds. They sound like ch. I want you to do it. I want you. How did you? How'd you? Clip 5, 158 to 159. The same feature occurs here. In both cases, you sounds like y. It's a pronoun, so its vowel changes to a relaxed uh sound. Part of did also disappears. Disfluent interviews. This bit is great because you get a chance to hear some genuinely spontaneous conversational speech with all its disfluency features. Wait a minute, did you say disfluency? Yes, native speakers can be disfluent. We do things in speech to help us plan what we're going to say. And these disfluency features can help you because 1. You don't need to worry about understanding or translating them. 2. You can use this time to reflect on what the person has said. Clip 6, 226 to 240. Tyler repeats himself. Not at all. I'm pretty sure. He's trying to remember what he did and plan what to say next. Not easy. So he adds some disfluency features. In this case, repetition. Clip 7, 246 to 254. Sarah's nephew Sam uses a different disfluency feature as he plans what he's going to say next. He fills his pauses with the hesitation sounds and to give himself time to plan ahead. Clip 8, 418 to 424. And can sound really different in fast spoken English. In fact, one study suggests that we pronounce this word 80 different ways. Isn't that incredible? We also use it a lot in speech, along with other coordinating conjunctions like but and so to join our ideas together. Two things happen to and. The vowel becomes a schwa and the d sound disappears. Like I said earlier, we hardly ever pronounce the t or d sounds at the ends of words when we speak, even when we're speaking carefully. And now sounds like the article un. She was smart and beautiful and cheerful and a great athlete. What's left of and joins to uh? The and between field hockey and lacrosse is extra reduced. The final and is emphasised a bit but still loses the d sound at the end. As you listen to the episode, notice how Sarah says and. Are there some that are harder to hear than others? Does the n sound join to the vowel in the next word? Are there any common combination of words with and, like and then or and so? Ready for the rest of episode 1? You're now aware of some of the main features of spoken English that can make comprehension tricky. Sounds disappear. Some need-to-know examples are t or d sounds from the ends of words, like and, ing endings that sound like in, working, diphthongs that go from two sounds to one, I'm to am. Some sounds transform when they're next to each other. De plus ye, j, te plus ye, ch. T sounds can sound more like d in American English, or they can disappear from the middle of words. 20 sounds like 20, for instance. Vowels become relaxed sounds in pronouns, prepositions, auxiliary verbs, conjunctions, articles, etc. Disfluency features like hesitation sounds, pauses, or repetitions can make comprehension easier once you're aware of them. Plus, you can use them in your own speech to sound more fluent. Your action plan for understanding the rest of episode 1. As you listen to the podcast, stop at difficult sections, write out what you hear and compare it to the transcript. What did you miss? What did you miss here? Is one of the features from this article a problem? Is it something else? A new word or expression? As you do this, a few times, don't try to transcribe the whole podcast. You'll become more aware of your listening difficulties. You can integrate the sounds you find difficult by repeating after the speaker, trying to mimic some of the tricky features. You can also attempt a shadow reading with a short section. You read aloud a short section of the podcast at the same time as the speaker, trying to keep up with their rhythm and stress. All of these tasks require a little bit more time and energy from you, but they're so much more effective than just listening and only catching half the episode. I hope you enjoy listening to the rest of episode 1 and to season 1 of Serial.